always enjoy talking to friends at this huge conference. I might remind you, plant breeders, that we formally established NAPB, the National Association of Plant Breeders, a few weeks ago in Iowa. We'll have our second meeting next year in Texas Aggie. Please join us. Southern rust is a disease that is a disease that's well known throughout the tropics, Puccinia polysora. Polysora is a very good name for it. It produces, and you won't be able to see quite as well as I can, abundant lesions, the uridia. It is asexual, produces only the uridiospores and occasional teliospores. It has few alternate hosts, notably related grasses, Trypsicum caecentia. So it's basically a disease that goes from corn to corn, and it's basically tropical. Not a single temperate corn hybrid has any resistance to southern rust. It's badly named because it's basically tropical, not southern, but it did come up into the southern United States very badly this year, found its way all the way up, in fact, to Wisconsin, says Bill Tracy. About half of the tropical hybrids, examples to the right, are partially or highly. Thanks, that's a great help. Historically, it was first described on Trypsicum, 1890. Shortly after World War II, it became a very serious disease in West Africa, leading, in fact, to starvation. The materials being grown then were largely from the southern United States and turned out to be entirely susceptible. The disease later found its way around the world from Africa, turning up in places like Australia, Thailand 40 years ago, finally made its way to Hawaii, 1970. I began my research in Thailand in 67 when I worked with Rockefeller, and again we observed that all of the temperate materials we tested failed. In 1978, when I was at SEAD, I began to do a little breeding research with my colleagues there, growing a diallele that showed good heritability for resistance. In the late 1980s, we began to assemble germplasm in Hawaii and share it with friends around the world. And I must say, thankfully, we have had wonderful cooperation, collaboration over the years, many institutions around the year, around the world, willing to share germplasm, evaluate, and help build databases on durable resistance. We found this durable resistance, basically adult plant resistance, as we've heard earlier in the morning, which for some reasons has failed to be used as widely as it seems to me it should. And we began to establish genetic progenies of various kinds to evaluate the nature of that inheritance. Summarizing the present knowledge of our 300 inbreds, and it will be obvious to you, though those are publicly available, we've 300 inbreds that have been studied in four countries, notably places like Nigeria, Thailand, Philippines, and Hawaii. Tropical inbreds range widely in inbred and in resistance. They are here in blue. And we have intermediate levels of tolerance that are very stable across regions. Temperate inbreds are essentially uniformly susceptible. The few that have shown resistance turn out to have had historic tropical inbreds in their pedigrees. We have, over the last 25 years, watched Polysora develop very well in Hawaii. It begins about this time of year, October, November, December, to be most abundant and facilitate the breeding. We've never bothered to inoculate. We just wait for the disease to come. You'll see that that severity of Polysora is directly correlated with our rainfall and temperature. Our winters are wet, and by our standards, cold. They average 71 degrees in winter. Basically, we're getting a long dew period that results in very excellent establishment of the disease. A typical January scene with B73 and MO17 to the left and some of the tropical inbreds to the right. Racially specific resistance has been known for a number of years, first observed in Kenya. Ulstrup in 65 identified a very well-known gene, RPP9, out on the end of chromosome 10, and subsequently a number of hypersensitive lesion-type resistance genes have been identified. Classically, they are dominant, and classically, they are clustered in this region on chromosome. They are racially specific, and at the present time, none of them are effective in the tropics because even though this is an asexual rust, it's been able to devise racial variations that are quite extensive. We do find in some cases a single race tends to predominate. For example, blowing up into the southern United States this year, race 9. So a monogene can contribute to general resistance. But from the breeder's standpoint, we're focusing on general resistance. Diallele analysis, and I wouldn't bother you with details of a diallele of this sort, but it does involve inbreds for something like 8 different countries. High correlation of inbred values with hybrid array means basically high GCA, the GCA-SCA ratio in this set of trials that was repeated 3 years was 10.7. Generation mean analyses have been conducted on several different families, and again, making a long story short, the narrow sense heritability at the bottom of this chart gives you a fairly confidence of the breeder's effectiveness of moving these genes around. We had narrow sense heritabilities ranging from about 20 to about 50%. We've established several recombinant inbred lines, and this one is one of the few where we have nice associated RIFLIP and SSR mapping data. This recombinant line involved a Thai parent and a classic Iowa parent, and the association of QTLs, a major one on chromosome 6, minor ones on several other chromosomes. Similar sets of marker data indicate other loci on chromosomes 3 and again on 6. But in general, it appears that we have a large number of genes that contribute to tolerance. One of my major studies in recent years has been with a series of near isogenic lines where we took 150 genes from the Corn Belt, the classic marker mutants like this recessive dwarf D1, gibberellic reversible. This turns out among the 150 to be the only one that was highly susceptible, apparently having a linked dominant susceptibility gene that came in from its temperate parent to the Colombian inbred that you see to the left, Hawaii 27, which has a high level of general tolerance. General conclusions. Polysora is now widely distributed in the tropics, and it's increasingly severe as places like Hawaii turn up around the world. Our sweet corn growers plant every week. I plant every month, creating ideal conditions for this asexual disease to keep moving, and indeed the spores blowing up into like the States. Asexual pathogen that's multiracial, and in general, the monogenes for hypernecrotic resistance are useless. The inheritance polygenic probably does involve a few major QTLs in each of a sets of parents. They evidently differ from different sources, but phenotypic breeding does happen to work very well, and marker assisted selection, in our view, is most unlikely to be cost effective. Thank you.
Somebody has a question for Dr. Bobrovica?
Speak up, I'm mine. They spray every week. Yeah. Now, the seed company, the corn seed industry, indeed, is Hawaii's biggest agricultural industry, thankfully, and I hope it'll continue. And they basically don't have any trouble with southern rust at the moment, because they also don't have any resistance to maize mosaic virus, which, in fact, is our worst disease, and transmitted by a leafhopper. So they do spray weekly.